Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Ira Winderman filling in for Hawk and Crowder. Alex Solano with us as well on the other side of the glass as we kick off this 4 o'clock hour. As a big game tonight, you can be heard right here on 560 WQAM between the Blues and the Bruins. Bruins lead the series 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. For more on that, we go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Welcome in Steve Goldstein, television voice of the Florida Panthers, and of course covering the Stanley Cup Finals for Westwood One Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Goldie on Ice. Goldie, appreciate your time. How's everything going today?
Doing well, Greg. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great, and Ira and I are excited about this game for tonight as you're in St. Louis to call the action. I got to ask you, because you take a look at St. Louis hosting the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1970. I know they had the game there on Saturday night, but what is the atmosphere like there in that town?
Yeah, it has been wild. And, you know, this weekend was also Cubs-Cardinals here. So, you know, people come from, you know, hours away. There's probably 30-40% Cubs fans that come to the Cardinals game. So this weekend has been nuts. It settled down a little bit today with that series ending. But, you know, most people in their lifetime, last time they played a Stanley Cup final was 1970. So there's a ton of people that never, you know, have never even experienced it before. It was a big letdown on Saturday night because the Blues were never really in the game. They fell behind early, but the atmosphere in the city is great. It's all anybody's talking about. They got some of the statues, you know, downtown of famous people, and they've thrown Blues jerseys on them. So this town is really on fire for this team.
You know, Goldie, it's interesting because I was actually watching that Cubs-Cardinal game yesterday, and I was kind of surprised with only one day off between games, and there is Craig Berube sitting in the stands watching the game,
yeah,
being interviewed on TV. I know some famous broadcasters were there also. I even turned to my son and I said, am I misreading this situation? Or if I'm down 2-1 and there's only one day off between games, and again, maybe I'm thinking you can over-scheme this or whatever, should I have been a little bit surprised that Craig Berube is taking in a rather lengthy baseball game when he has something a little bit more important going on tonight?
Well, you know, I was there also.
Yes.
Now, I was across the street, so you can watch the game kind of for free, and you're just hanging out in the restaurants and stuff. So that's where I was, to be the full disclosure.
Okay.
But, you know, but first they covered practice. They practiced in the morning. So
okay,
Berube got all that out of the way, did all the media stuff, the team practice. And I'm thinking he probably didn't stay the whole game. He went over there to do a little TV hit on,
okay,
Sports Midwest. He is such a regular guy, Ira.
Yes.
You know, he's still officially the interim coach, even though, you know, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
Now, that deal will get done. It's a foregone conclusion. He has stayed in the office with the assistant coaches. He never even moved into the head coach office. So,
wow,
he's still in the office with the assistants and never has taken the parking spot that the head coach has at the arena. So that thing has been empty since November. He's a regular dude. It's pretty close by. So I'm guessing he just, you know, quickly walked over to Busch Stadium, did the interview, and probably went home after that.
Okay. So I'm driving around, I'm listening to you between periods, doing all the hosting, Kenny Albert mentioning your name the entire time. And yet, no offense, Goldie, I don't think you have to be the most hockey expert analyst to figure out that if the other team is going 4-for-4 on the power play, it's probably a really, really, really good idea not to get penalties. I understand one of them was on the challenge on the offside. They fell down 3-0. You have to take that chance. I could see it. It was obviously a very close and very tight play. I'm glad to say my neighbor, Pierre Resico, who lives in Weston with me, got the call correct upon review. Good job, Pierre. Question, Goldie, the penalties being taken by the Blues, are they being forced into it by a more talented, harder skating team? Or when you watch the game and sit there while the play-by-play is going on, is St. Louis just simply being too liberal with the penalties, knowing what the ultimate penalty for them has been with the Bruins' power play goals?
Well, first off, it's a lot of what everybody's talked about and talked about this morning. Craig Berube actually came out and said he disagreed with some of the calls.
Okay.
Now, I'm usually not a fan. You know what that usually means in series when teams start complaining about officials? It means they're in some trouble. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm a little surprised. Because as you said, look, first of all, the Bruins get four power play goals on four shots. Right. That's it. So much like that last series when they blew that call on Joe Pavelski against Vegas, and Vegas, you know, wound up giving up the four power play goals in the 5-minute major and wound up losing game seven. You know, you do have an option of doing a good job in the penalty kill and actually killing them off.
Yes, that would help.
I'm not a big fan of blaming the refs. The one, as you said, it was on a challenge, so that's totally their fault. So then you're down to three penalties in a Stanley Cup final playoff game. I mean, a couple of them were questionable that were 50-50s. Those things happen. One of them was a really stupid penalty by David Perron.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see – no, I don't think the Bruins are totally forcing them into it, nor do I think the Blues had an incredible problem of being undisciplined, because like I said, there was one bad penalty by Perron. One of them was on the lost challenge, which results in a penalty, and the other two were just close calls. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, Ira, where because Boston was so efficient on their power play,
mm-hmm.
that the officials are being talked about probably a little bit more than, in my opinion, they should be after game three.
Steve Goldstein, television voice of the Florida Panthers and covering the Stanley Cup Finals for Westwood One Radio, joining us here on 560 WQAM. You can hear that courtesy of Westwood One Radio tonight right here on QAM. And Goldie, I got to ask you to try to play psychologist here, I suppose. What is Jordan Binnington's psyche after being pulled from the game on Saturday night? And it sounds like they're going to go with him tonight, but what does that situation look like for the Blues?
Well, never a question they were going with him, according to Berube. And this guy, let's keep in mind, he is 12-2 this year, which is his career because he's a rookie. 12-2 the game after losses. So he's got this dry kind of, you know, personality to him, really never flinches. Now, he had never been pulled in a game. So this game, this loss that he suffered the other night and this bounce back game is a little different. I can tell you this, though, at that practice yesterday, most of the regular guys were not on the ice. It was just the scratches. Binnington was out there with the goalie coach. They were working on technique and all these different things, you know, sliding around the net. It was very businesslike for about 20 straight minutes. So based on his past, I got to expect the guy is going to come back and have the nerves of steel that he's always had. Again, you know, that's incredible. 12-2 after losses for a rookie goaltender. That includes the playoffs this year.
Do you think if Jake Allen, who was not very good when he came in, was better, that there could have been any type of controversy there? Or do you think with the remarkable job that Binnington did to get him there, that that wasn't a case? Or if Jake Allen was better, might we be talking something a little different tonight?
No, I think there was zero chance, Ira. First off, even if he was better, the game was 5-1 when they put him in. So there's no pressure on you, you know, when you're coming into that situation. This is the guy, and they're certainly not going to let one bad game. And by the way, he had other questions, like game one against San Jose wasn't very good. Now, he didn't get pulled,
right?
But he came back in one game, too. Zero debate. They're going to sink and or swim the next week, week and a half, as long as they're in this thing against Boston with Binnington in goal.
When you look at this series, obviously you're looking at one overtime goal, or you're looking at a team possibly looking to complete a sweep tonight. Does this series seem that lopsided to you, that the Bruins are one overtime goal allowed in game two from a sweep? Or maybe is that just the pedigree of these teams, that the Bruins are just a lot better?
I don't think the Bruins are a lot better. Now, I think Tuukka Rask has been much better than Binnington so far. He's going to have to be better. But, you know, remember this. That game two goes to overtime only because Rask was great mm-hmm. in the second and third period. The Blues were all over them. The Blues dominated that game. Now, in game three, for some inexplicable reason, they got totally away from their heavy north-south game. They started trying to make fancy passes. I don't know if it was because they were home. It was the first cup final home game in 50 years in St. Louis. They were trying to put on a show. But they got totally out of their game plan. And obviously, it cost them big time. They were down before you blinked the eye, and that was the end of the game. I fully expect the Blues are going to play a lot better tonight. Now, is it going to be enough to win? That's a question mark. But it would not surprise me if later tonight this series is 2-2 and it's down to a best of three. St. Louis has come back many times during the playoffs.
So if we get to a situation where the Bruins are on the verge and we start talking about the Conn Smythe, Torrey Krug right now or Tuukka, or where does it sort of stand with you?
That's a great question. I mean, Krug has been unbelievable, and the game the other night was historic. You know, four points, four power play points, 4 points by a defenseman. You don't see it very often. You know, Rask might be the guy.
Really?
It's a great question. You know, Bergeron has to be in the conversation, I think, Ira. You know, mm-hmm. depends on if you just look at numbers or if you remember, you know, they were down in the Toronto series, and Rask had a win you know, game six in Toronto to stay alive, and then they came back and won game seven. And they were also down against Columbus. Remember, the Blue Jackets were
right.
2-1, and they went on that long winning streak. Carolina had a few games, even though that series was a sweep, where they put big pressure on, and Rask was great. So if Tuca's able to get this done, and particularly if one of these games, if Boston does win two more, and one of them, he stands on his head and wins it, I probably favor Rask, but it's one of those things where you could have two, three different guys that you wouldn't have a huge argument with for Conn Smythe playoff MVP.
Steve Goldstein, television voice of the Florida Panthers, covering the Stanley Cup Finals for Westwood One Radio, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Goldie, one of the few, I guess you call it, highlights from Saturday night for St. Louis Blues fans, I suppose, is that Patrick Mahomes was there and he was chugging beer. When did this become the trendy thing for celebrities, and I guess specifically football players, to do? Because it feels like now any of these football players who show up to playoff games in hockey or in basketball, it's like if they don't chug a beer, then it's a disappointment.
Well, of course, it starts with the offensive lineman, right? Remember a few years ago when the Predators were in it, the Tennessee Titans offensive line, those guys were showing up, and they were trying to chug them, and it was spilling all over the place. And then in San Jose this year, you had the O-line from the 49ers coming to the games. So then, of course, you had that Bucs game where, you know, the one guy chugged it, and then Aaron Rodgers didn't, and I think that's what really brought it on. So Mahomes couldn't let Aaron Rodgers – you know, look, he had something he could outdo him on, so he threw it down. I think it's just been an evolution, and now it's just a thing that you got to throw it down. I think since Aaron Rodgers didn't, they're trying to make sure that they best him. So I think it's now a thing, yes.
Okay, so you're on. I got to get your quick question on the Panthers. I'm curious about this. The NBA draft is June 20th, the NHL draft the 21st. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm sure you haven't done the intense scouting that I have on the NBA side, but I go to NHL.com. I'm looking to see who the Panthers are going to take at number 13. All four of their experts are lined up saying Spencer Knight, USHL player, commit to Boston College. The fact that everyone is listing a goalie, you and I spoke about this last week at Memorial Day as far as Montembeau and his future and Luongo moving into a 20-game situation maybe, Bobrovsky possibly coming here. Does it make sense for you, even with Montembeau in the system, to go and use that number 13 pick on another goalie?
Well, it would make sense to me because they've really, besides Montembeau, and I think he's the third drafted or fourth drafted Panther goalie ever to play a game in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So the history has not been very good. And if you can go get a prospect like that, great. Now, the caveat in that would be, Ira, if they do, and they probably won't know on, they won't know on draft day. But if you know you're going to sign Bobrovsky, and
right.
you do have Montembeau, and they've also got another guy they drafted a few years ago, which seems like a great draft pick, a seventh rounder out of Bowling Green. This guy had a great year, and they've signed him, Ryan Bednard. You know, you now have, if you do sign the veteran Bobrovsky, and you have Montembeau, and you have this other guy, Bednard, who's actually, I think, a year older than Montembeau, you know, do you really need to use a first rounder on a goalie, on a guy that's not going to have an impact for 2 or 3 years, or do you want to either get a player maybe that can play for you sooner, which is probably unlikely at that point, or mm-hmm. trade the pick and, you know, go and get somebody. So, you know, look, these drafts, you never want to be too short-sighted, especially in the NHL, where
right.
after the top few, guys aren't going to play immediately. It's a down-the-road thing. I don't have a problem if they keep the pick and draft a guy that is probably not going to play in the league for a few years. The goalies are kind of like quarterbacks. You can never have too many because you've got great value. So let's say you hit on all of them
mm-hmm.
and you have too many, you can go trade those guys for players, for picks, anytime you want. So very intriguing to me. I will tell you this, though. It would not shock me if they think they've got, you know, something done with Bobrovsky, which, again, they won't know before the draft.
Right.
If they wound up trading that pick. And if you can get good value and get a player that can help you now, it wouldn't totally shock me if they wind up, you know, moving the pick. But it wouldn't shock me if they took the best goalie out there, that kid Spencer Knight is supposed to be anyway, a guy down the road that's going to be really good. But it's not for a few years. It's
just trying to help with your draft scouting. I know you're out on the road. It's been tough. So I'm just trying to do the little part that I could. And you know what? It was an English name. I was able to pronounce it, so why not?
Well, that'll be easy if they, like last year, they picked Denisenko, you know, the kid out of Russia who doesn't speak any English. That's really long-term. So
I appreciate you doing the homework. It's more homework than I've done. You're 1,000% right.
And today I also learned for the Sun Sentinel how to spell Rui Hachimura, so I'm just feeling good about myself.
Oh, boy. Don't question us on that.
Hey, Goldie, hope the broadcast goes well tonight, and enjoy the remainder of the Stanley Cup Finals, as Game 4 can be heard right here on 560 WQAM. Goldie's going to be part of the Westwood One radio broadcast. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Always appreciate it. Ira, Greg, take care.
Thanks, right, Goldie. Enjoy the game.
Steve Goldstein, of course, television voice of the Florida Panthers, and you can hear him covering the Stanley Cup Finals tonight on Westwood One Radio. There you go. So we got a little draft insight in there as well for the Florida
Panthers.
You got to
get it in there. I didn't realize. I forgot that the NHL draft was the day after the NBA draft, so it really is draft time. So I will, as soon as I'm done with my NBA mock, I will get my NHL mock up as soon as I can.
Okay. You're going to work ahead for the WNBA draft for next year, too?
Yeah, I might hold back on that. That's after I'm done watching my replay of the AHL, the Calder Cup series. Yeah.